Well, hi, and welcome to another edition of Media Byte Studio, The Professional. I'm your host, Joanne McCall, and this program is all about expert advice within the media and publishing industries. So as we all know, constant change is the new norm, and unless you're working within an industry full-time, it's really impossible to keep up and know it all. In fact, even if you're in an industry full-time, it's challenging. So this program is all about sharing the knowledge so that you don't have to spend all your precious time searching, in addition to wondering if the advice you're getting is really right for you. I mean, you can easily get advice, but knowing if it's appropriate for you in your particular situation, well, that's something else again. And that's what this program helps you to do, to discern if that advice is right for you. So as a publicist, I'm all about getting media attention from my clients, whether they use a traditional publisher, a hybrid, print on demand, or they self-publish. Clients include CEOs, consultants, speakers, entrepreneurs, and authors with a brand. And I also work with those who want to do their own book marketing and publicity. So I help them to understand how the industries work and then how they can be a player within them. And I mean play in a good way. So one of my missions is to catch people on the front end of publishing their books to save them from the enormous amount of time and money that can be wasted doing it wrong. And let me tell you, there are people and companies who would love to take your money from you, but are they right for you? And you need to know what's right for you. And I've seen so many mistakes, and I know my guest has too. So that brings us to today's show. Now, Janneke Smith is known as a publishing navigator, and I love that because it says exactly what she does. She navigates the best path for her clients through the publishing process while making sure they avoid the many scams, mistakes, and pitfalls that derail self-published authors. And she does this all with gentle encouragement, calm reassurance, I mean, all those things we need to know when we're, you know, approaching overwhelm, perhaps. So it's good to have someone right there with us. Now, Janneke has been instrumental in publishing books for many, many authors. She's helped her clients establish more than 40 independent publishing companies. Because you know what? That's something people don't really think about when they self-publish. They actually have to have a company. Now, she enjoys taking care of the details and providing the framework that allows creative people to flourish, which is so fantastic. So I've met Janneke within the last year or so, and our paths keep crossing in so many different ways that I thought, I got to talk to this woman. I have to get her on here. So, Janneke, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Joanne.
Well, I am delighted you're here. We have a common mission, of course. I alluded to it in the introduction. It's to catch people on the front end before they make costly and timely mistakes regarding their books. So why don't we start with that? Let's start with, what do authors need to be wary of when they're looking for help with self-publishing? What should they be looking at?
Well, you know, there's so many things to take into account. There's so many different directions to go, even if you've already made the decision to self-publish. I think one of the things that is the biggest thing to know is the difference between self-publishing independently and publishing with a publishing services company, and exactly what that is. A lot of the companies, you know, you alluded to all the people that are more than happy to take your money, and there's a lot in this space, and there are a lot of companies that really prey on authors who are excited to be writing their book and may have dreamt of having a traditional publisher come knocking on their door. I think that's a dream for most authors. And a lot of the companies that are out there will position themselves as though they're a publisher and they're seeking you out and they want to publish your book. And it sounds really good and exciting, and it can be very, very much plays on people's egos. And when you really peel back the layers of the onion, what they're really doing is selling you a publishing package, often at a high cost and low quality. So one of the things that I really caution people from the very beginning is to be careful about people that contact you and solicit you, that if they are calling themselves a publisher and they're asking you to put money up, they're not a publisher. publishers pay authors for the right to publish their book. And publishing companies that ask the author to pay them money are not publishing companies. So that's my first caution, is to just be very wary of people that may approach you and be really clear about what they are. And, you know, those companies, there are a lot of them, and a lot of them have names that are recognizable. Not to get too far into naming names, but I'll just name a few. There's Author House and iUniverse, Trafford, Ex Libris, Balboa Press. All of those are publishing service companies that are all owned by the same company. It's a company called Author Services. And all you have to do is go on the internet and Google Author Services lawsuits, and you'll see all kinds of people who are filing complaints against those companies. And it's largely because they misrepresent themselves and they provide a low-quality product for a lot of money.
They also tend to charge very high amounts of money for packages that include marketing, publicity, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of another tip-off.
Right. And, you know, I think for the most part, and there are some other real gotchas in their services. Often their contract requires you to sign over a license. Well, any publisher will require you to sign over a license for your copyright, but their contracts frequently have a clause that say that if you terminate your agreement with them and you want to take your book and publish it elsewhere, that they can continue to market your book for up to a year from the time that you cancel. Mm. And if you should proceed and your book becomes wildly successful and a big publishing house comes calling, if you're in an agreement that allows this publishing services company to continue to publish and market your book for a year, no traditional publisher is going to want to touch that. So you really can get locked into things that you don't have the opportunity to get out of. The other thing to be really cautious of is that most of those companies, you pay for design services, for your book cover, for all of those things, but if you terminate your agreement with them, you don't have ownership of those files. So if you should decide you want to publish or print some other way, you're locked in and will have to pay for those services again, and you may not be able to have a cover that you've established as part of your brand.
Wow.
So some real pitfalls in all of that, and all of that leads to what I really advocate: if you're going to self-publish, that you truly self-publish. And that means forming your own publishing company, which is not nearly as difficult as it sounds, but the key is for you to own your own ISBN number.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do that. The only way you own your ISBN number is if you purchase it directly from Balker. Balker is the only agency in the U.S. that you can buy an ISBN number from. There are some services. CreateSpace is a service that I use quite a bit, and one of the options that they have is to use one of their ISBN numbers. But if you do that, your publisher of record, if someone goes and researches that ISBN number for your book, the publisher of record will show up as CreateSpace. And that's not what you want. You want to be published under your own publishing company name and not be tied in with one of the real disadvantages to being tied in with a company like CreateSpace as your publisher is that there are no gatekeepers. So So you have, you know, you're judged by the company you keep. There are people that are publishing things using that publisher that they're not high quality, and there's an assumption that if that's your publisher, that you haven't done the work to do the high quality that most people are looking for when they're wanting to promote your book.
So I want to talk and delve into Create Space more a little bit later in the program, so we'll be coming back to it because I've had some questions about it prior to our interview. So we're talking with Janica Smith today, the publishing navigator, who's giving us the scoop on all of this because these questions are just so important and they come up so often. Janica, where do hybrids fit into this? Because I'm seeing more and more of that, and more of them look legitimate. They still take your money for certain packages and certain things, but you know, what's your feeling about those companies?
You know, I think that there are a few that are doing a good job. They are very few. There are a lot that look good on the surface, and you start to scratch down and find what's there. One of the things that I think is important in looking at a hybrid is to look at the quality of the other books that they've published. Mm-hmm. A true quality hybrid publisher is going to charge you money to publish, but they're not simply a pay-to-play organization. It's truly curated. They review the manuscript, and almost any publishing service company is going to tell you that they do that, and that's largely to make you feel good that they've approved your manuscript. Mm-hmm. But when you really look, they approve just about anyone who's willing to write them the check. But when you look at one of the high quality hybrids, you can tell that partially by looking at the other books that they've published, and specifically if any of the books that they've published have won awards. You might look at some of their affiliations. Most of the hybrids that I think are doing a good job are members of an organization called IBPA. It's the Independent Book Publishers of America. There we go. And so most of the companies that are doing a good job are members of that organization. So look at those kinds of things and read their agreement and their contract very carefully. You want to look to be sure that you retain. You want to know what your out is. You know what happens if you decide that you're not happy with the service.
Right.
That's a big piece of it. And then to just be real clear going in what your obligations are with them and what kinds of controls they'll have.
Is that something that you offer in terms of if someone had a contract and they were looking at it and it's legalese and they're not really sure? Is that a service that you provide to help people with that?
Yes, to a degree. I have to be really careful because I'm not an attorney and I can't really review contracts. But what I can do is offer a consultation where I just take a look at it and point out things that you might want to ask questions about.
Okay.
And just sort of give you some of the things that could possibly be red flags. You know, there's a book that I can recommend that I really highly, it's a resource that I use a lot. It's called The Fine Print of Self-Publishing. It's by a gentleman named Mark Levine, and Mark is an attorney, and he is a self-published author, and he started encountering all of these companies that their agreements were very much putting the author at a disadvantage. So he wrote a guidebook to the things to look for in a self-publishing company. And the book also rates a lot of the self-publishing companies, sort of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the really ugly.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, thank you for recommending that. So, Janica, is another question or something to be looking for is distribution. Because
a lot of these, whether it's hybrids or publishing services companies, will tell you, yes, it'll be available in Ingram, but they don't have a sales team. Can you speak to that somewhat? Is that something to watch
for? Yeah, absolutely. Distribution is one of the challenges for self-published authors. The traditional publishers are hooked into distribution systems where they do have sales forces, and they're actively working to get the books placed in brick-and-mortar bookstores. That's been one of the things that's really changed and turned the publishing industry on its head, is that brick-and-mortar bookstores are not where most books are being sold these days. I think if we all just even think of our own buying habits, it's not surprising to know that the vast majority of books are sold online, and of those that are sold online, the vast majority of those are sold through Amazon. And Amazon distribution is the major thing that you need. And, I think we will talk some more about CreateSpace, but one of the big advantages of using CreateSpace as one of your print-on-demand printers is that that automatically gets you very advantageous distribution into Amazon. As for distribution into Ingram, that's also something that you can do very easily on your own as a self-published author by using Ingram Spark as another one of your printing sources. They're owned by Ingram, and when you print your book through Ingram Spark, it's automatically listed in the Ingram catalog. Now, Ingram is, there's a difference in distribution and wholesaling, and Ingram is a wholesaler. And the difference between wholesale and distribution is that distribution has an active sales force that's working to get your book placed on shelves. The wholesale just makes it available. So any bookstore is going to have a wholesale account with Ingram. It's sort of an aggregate way for a bookstore to order books from many different publishers through a single order. So they just place their order through Ingram, and they only deal with that one wholesaler, and then publishers list their books through Ingram. So it just simplifies the process for bookstores. So when you're listed on Ingram, any bookstore with an Ingram account can order the book for a customer, and you will also show up on almost all of the online booksellers because you're not competing for limited shelf space.
Okay, so that would be a good reason for doing that, that you're in the online bookstores, because the truth is, how many people go into a bookstore and order a book? Nobody.
Very few.
Nobody.
If you're going to do that, you just place the order yourself online. I think the only people that do that are people that are part of an older generation that are just really computer phobic, and they don't do anything online. And there's a handful of those, but for the vast majority, people are going to order online directly.
Okay, so if you're working with a company and they say, yes, you'll be in Ingram, unless you can create demand where those bookstores are going to want to order your book, you got to create the demand for that to happen, because it isn't going to magically happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right. That's one of the things that those publishing companies tout, is that, they'll get you listed on Ingram, and, well, that's really not anything you can't do yourself.
Yeah. But for the online piece, it's good. Yeah, these are important things to know. I know so many people, and I know you do too, they come to you after they've gone through this, and they say, this isn't working. And you look at it and you go, well, here's why. And nobody is happy in that situation. Gee, you have to redo your whole book. It's not a happy time.
Right. And I actually have had enough people that have come to me that I'm considering developing a package I'm going to call a book rehab package. when they come and they've encountered one of those, they've usually got a book that's not showing up to its best potential, and it takes some rehabilitation to get it back and put it in a position that it can really live up to its potential.
I hope you'll interview me at that time too, because I can tell I can share some stories too and some advice with regard to that. So anyway, that would be really
well.
Fun.
And I know that you know, the one of the reasons that people used to really go for traditional publishing was to be able to have the credibility to get media exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you're finding this, as well as other people that I've talked to, that's really, you know, who published it is really not even a question that the media is asking anymore. What they're asking for is to know that it's available and that people can buy it, and that it's done well, that it's a professionally produced book.
Yes, and they're looking for credibility. They're looking for, it has to be edited well. It does have to, because they still request review copies, whether they want digital or they want an actual book mailed. And an impression is important, so you want to do everything you can, as you said in the beginning, to make it look, you know, the best that you can. I encourage people, you know, not to name your self-publishing company after your own name. You know, those kinds of
yes.
things. Maybe
yes.
Maybe you have some other amateur, you know, I mean, we want to avoid those as best we can.
Right. You know, it's things like naming the publishing company after yourself or your company.
Yep.
I always tell people, we don't want to hide the fact that you're self-published, because there really isn't a stigma to it, but at the same time, you don't want to lead with that information. So we want it to sound like a publisher. And then things like book covers that are often a self-published author will devise a book cover that's the book cover that they love. And you just can't do that and maintain credibility. There are some conventions for book covers that are important to know. Sometimes you may choose to do something differently, but it needs to be a purposeful choice. And it's really important that your book cover appeal to your target reader, not necessarily to you, not necessarily your favorite colors and your favorite fonts, but what your potential reader responds to. And usually that means doing something that's similar to the genre that you're going to be in. So professional book covers are hugely important. Even if you're only doing an ebook, I think a professional book cover is still really important, because it's the visual that people see that will lead them to either click on your book or not. So book cover. Interior design is something that I have to tell you that before I started working in this world, I had no idea. There are so many conventions of interior design that if they're done right, you'll never notice it. But if they're done wrong, you may not be able to put your finger on what's wrong, but the book just won't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Things like chapters always start on the right-hand page. And that sometimes means putting a blank page to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a blank page, it's completely blank. There's no page number on it. Things like margins being, most books have usually a half-inch margin on the outsides, and there's a reason for that. It's so you can hold the book open with your thumbs not covering up the words.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that someone who really knows books can pick your book up and thumb through it very quickly and get a sense of whether it's been done professionally or not.
Absolutely. I was thinking of any book reviewers. If you want to get your book reviewed, then they're going to notice those things immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when they notice those little things, they will also assume that you haven't taken the care with your content.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really, I think reviewers get literally hundreds of books every day. So they're sorting through them very quickly, and what they're really looking for is a reason to reject it.
Yes.
So the first opportunity to reject it, it goes into that pile.
Yes.
So you have to be able to appropriately check the boxes off that they're going through to see if your book is done professionally.
It's so interesting because I run into people that, you know, they want to be really creative, so they do something really wild for their book covers or really wild. And yes, I think it's good to be creative and try some new things, but there are standards within the industry that if you want reviews and you want media, they have to be in place. I had someone who didn't even have – they had a relative do the book cover and all that, and there wasn't even a place for a barcode because the person didn't think of it.
Right. You know, and I run into that with people, particularly business people who are now writing a book, may already have a relationship with a graphic designer who's done wonderful work for them in their branding materials, brochures, things of that nature. But when it comes to book design, it's really important to have someone who has book design experience, just so that they're going to know those conventions. And publishing is still very much a conventional, it's a conventional media, and people expect that there will be certain things that will be in place, and if they're not, you'll be dismissed. And we really want to be sure that yes, you want to stand out, but you also have to fit in, and it's that ability to fit in and stand out at the same time that I think is the real hallmark of a professional book designer.
Okay, so here's the publicist speaking. That was definitely a soundbite. You have to stand out. You have to fit in to stand out. No, you have to stand out, but you also have to fit in. That's it. That's beautiful.
Yep.
That's perfect. So also to the point of saving time and money. Hiring someone who already knows how to do this, it's going to take a lot less time for them than someone who doesn't have the experience. That's just
right.
How it is. So it's another
good
way.
And I've had some people, in fact, I'll tell you a real quick story. I had an author that really wanted to go the crowdsourcing route and really wanted to do her book cover through 99 Designs. And she had done it with some marketing materials and had good success. So against my best advice, she went the route of using 99 Designs for her book cover, and we used one of my book designers for the interior. When it was time to actually load all of her files up, the book cover was rejected because it didn't fit the specs, and we had to go back to the person to get it done. She wasn't available, so we pulled somebody else in to take the artwork that we had gotten from them and try to put it in. And when we really started looking at that file, it still had a watermark from a stock photography that they had tried to airbrush out. But when we really looked at it, and that's something that the author could have ended up with a book cover that had pirated artwork.
Oh, man.
Could have been sued. It could have been a huge. So in the effort to try to save the money, she ended up having to pay a book designer to fix it, and it could have ended up a really expensive mistake.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, that's like a nightmare. That's something nightmares are made of, and that's exactly the kind of thing. That's why we're doing this, is to help people avoid situations like that, because there's ways to do it, and you can still be creative and all that. So let's move into CreateSpace here, because I know we're getting low on time here, and I do want to spend some time there. I've noticed that more and more and more people are going that route. They want to go that route. They have questions about it. I've got, you know, we have people from my community on this call listening to this interview, and they have submitted some questions. So is it okay if we just delve into?
Absolutely.
First of all, why don't you give us an overview of what do you think of CreateSpace, pros and cons?
CreateSpace.
Yes.
There are actually... CreateSpace actually functions in two very different ways. They are a print-on-demand company. You'll hear the term POD, and this is really confusing because POD stands for both print-on-demand and publish-on-demand. Mm-hmm. And print-on-demand is a wonderful thing. It's the thing that has really opened up publishing to the common man. So we can self-publish because POD, digital printing, is an option. Publish-on-demand is where you sign over a license to your copyright and authorize a different a third party to publish your book one at a time. Publish on demand is usually a bad deal for the author. Mm-hmm. Print on demand is very good. And Create Space is both of those. Mm-hmm. You can use their publishing services where you use their ISBN. They have editing, book design packages. They've got packages for all of that. And I have worked with people who have used it. Your results vary widely. They have a large group of people that they subcontract all of those things with. Mm-hmm. You might get a great editor. You might not get a great editor. Mm-hmm. Same thing for cover design and interior design. Sometimes the results are good. They're not reliably good. And I think for the most part, you can do those things independently on your own, do it through your own publishing company with your own ISBN, and using Create Space as a print on demand is a wonderful thing. It's something that all of my clients do. That's our primary route into always having your book available on Amazon without having to print large quantities of books and ship them off to Amazon regularly. So Create Space for printing, wonderful. Create Space for publishing services, hit and miss.
Okay. That was probably the best explanation I've heard to date. That was really great.
Good.
Two different
Good.
Ways, and it really answers some questions that were within the group that had come up asking about Create Space and publishing and ISBN and all that, and I think you've really explained it. So tell us a little bit about how you navigate with people. If someone comes to you, they're working on their book, maybe they're in the process, or they pretty much have it done, they've discovered you, they want to self-publish, mm-hmm. What do you do?
What I do is I have a process that we move through that takes an author from the time that they've completed their manuscript to the point that it's ready for copy editing. And then from that point until their book is listed on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and set up for ebooks with Kindle and possibly an audiobook, I have a process that gets you from point A to point B, and we can do all of it for you. I've got a full package that's all inclusive. Or you can work with me just to be your project manager and guide through that, and then we can contract for other pieces like editing and book design and covers and indexes and proofreading and all of that independently. Mm-hmm. And those are two different ways that people can work with me. I sometimes have people who come to me and they really are in mid-process and my packages don't make sense because they're partway down the road. And in that case, I do have an option that people can just use me on an hourly basis as a consultant.
Okay. Do you have a program that people can actually purchase that's already self-contained? Or they could just, and then decide if they want to go further or no? Or is that something maybe?
No, I really don't. It's really more of we sort of come up with the package, and it's somewhat customized to what they're needing.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I do offer a 30-minute consultation that's a free consultation for anyone where we can really talk about their specific project, where they are in their process, and most importantly, what their goal is for their book, what they're really trying to accomplish, because I think that's a piece that really will inform what the best path to publishing is for them. But that 30-minute consultation really helps me to get a clearer picture of what they need, and then I can do a specific offering for them.
Okay, so how do they sign up for a consultation, or I could get that info from you and put it on this page later. Maybe both. How do they reach you?
We can do that. We can do both.
Okay.
They can visit my website. My website is publishingsmith.com, and on the website there is a link to click to schedule a consultation.
Excellent.
Or you can email me, and my email address is Janica, janica, at publishingsmith.com.
Got it. Well, Janica, so happy that you could be here today and so appreciate your generosity in sharing this information. I know we've had a lot of questions. I know you've answered many of them. So thanks again for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for the opportunity, Joanne.
Absolutely, my pleasure. So that's it for today's edition of Media Byte Studio, The Professional. I hope you got a lot out of this, and we'll have more interviews coming up with other professionals within media and within publishing to help you reach the goals that you've set for yourself. That's all important to us. I'm Joanne McCall, and until next time, remember, more media, more mojo. All right, have a great week. Bye-bye.